Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Guess what?
We are starting a new book of the Bible.
We sure as fuck are.
Which book are we starting again?
We are starting Lamentations.
Okay. Is there a lot of lamenting going on in this?
Actually, there is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. They're using the word correctly.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. And I have a little bit of an intro to talk about what the fuck it is.
Sure, sure.
And then we'll read chapter 1.
All right, sounds good. So what's the intro? Or did you want to do that in the main section?
In the main section.
Oh, in the main section. All right. So, you know, we're going to pause here and then we're going to go to our main section.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so we are starting the Book of Lamentations.
Okay.
Let's talk about it a little
bit. Let's do that,
before we hop into the chapter.
Sure, okay.
Okay, so the Book of Lamentations, it's only 5 chapters.
Oh, man, we're going to finish another book quickly.
We are.
Wow.
And that's exciting.
That's exciting, yeah.
This is totally off topic, but I am a huge fan of Goodreads and listening to audiobooks, right?
How can we incorporate Goodreads and audiobooks into Lamentations? Here we go. All right.
Yes, ready?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so every year, Goodreads allows you to set a challenge for how many books you think you'll read or would like to read over the course of the year.
Question.
Right?
Do you get to count the books of the Bible?
I mean, you could count the Bible as one. I think it'd really be pressing it to count
it. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to think of a way to pad your numbers here. That's all.
Okay. I have not actually been including the Bible. And now I'm like thinking back and I'm kind of curious. And I'm like, wait, but maybe I should be counting each book. I don't know. That's not what I was getting at.
Sorry.
So what I was getting at, how this is related, is that I start the beginning of the year with looking at how many hours each book on my challenge list is.
Yeah.
How long is each book? And I start the year with the shortest ones so that by summer, I've pretty much, if not halfway, sometimes fully reached my challenge number.
Okay.
And so every time I have one that's like under 6 hours long, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I get to like, quote unquote, pad my numbers, which is, you know, cool. Because Lamentations is only five chapters.
Right.
It's nothing, but we get credit for it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how I tied those two together.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes like when there's nothing to it and it's short, it just makes all the difference.
Just so you guys know, wife is a super user of Goodreads, like super fucking user.
When you say super user of Goodreads, I think what you mean is a super user of the Libby app.
Okay.
Which I used to use the Overdrive app, but the Overdrive app is going away. And that's where I listen to my audiobooks, which is online library.
Okay.
So,
but don't you leave reviews on Goodreads a lot, right?
I don't leave reviews a lot. I have started writing reviews. I always mark what I read, when I started, when I finished, and what I rated.
Got it.
So I don't always write reviews. I'm trying to start doing that more now because I'm trying to get more books off of NetGalley, which are ARCs, advanced reader copies.
Wow, this is all Greek to me.
I know. I love the book thing.
Okay? Yeah. Okay.
Just that's what that was.
Right.
Okay.
Let's get back to the Bible.
Yeah. So anyway. Okay. So Lamentations. It's a collection of poetic laments for the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BCE.
Huh. So just what we got done reading, basically.
Yeah.
Only these are the poesy of it.
Exactly. And the whole time, like, it's supposed to be Jeremiah, like, weeping.
Oh,
that's
so
where we get the weeping prophet.
We were done, but then the Bible was like, ha ha.
Yeah. Psych. Yeah. For as far back as tradition reaches, Lamentations has been read on Tisha B'Av. Remember that, not celebration, commemoration, observation.
Yeah, observation.
Yes.
Sure.
I couldn't think of the word.
Okay.
Every year, that's the day that they memorialize the fact that they went into exile and Jerusalem was sacked and smashed.
Got it.
And then later on, their second temple got smashed. Apparently, we're not there yet. Spoilers.
Sure. No, I didn't remember either. But I was watching you try to come up with the words. And I'm like, what is it?
I know you were like watching me, and I was like, my God, we just talked about this. I understand that I can't think of the word because I often can't think of a word. But
you were really hoping I had the answer.
I assumed you had the answer because you always know the word I'm trying to say. But instead of looking at me like, yes, or I'm withholding because I like to see you struggle. No, instead you were looking at me like, you fool, what are you doing? You're ruining our podcast. Okay. So anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. They read these Lamentations every year during this observation because it memorializes their trauma, cultural trauma, and their historical ache for what was.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's not unreasonable to assume that that was actually its intended purpose when they wrote it.
Okay.
So the way it's written kind of lends toward reading it out loud.
Memorializing
like that.
It.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Okay. The prophet Jeremiah is its traditional author.
Traditional author.
That is as far as I got because we're going to do a wrap up afterwards and I'll have more information then.
Got it.
I have to be really careful with these intros that I don't learn too much before we dive in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
So I don't want to give myself spoilers. So I'm sure if they're saying up front that he's the traditional author, that means he wasn't.
Right.
So yeah. I'm sure it was the Deuteronomist.
They wouldn't specify otherwise.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now, the original text was written in Hebrew, okay?
Okay.
However, in the Septuagint, the following words are found as part of the text. And there's multiple different translations of the Septuagint, which is the Greek one.
Right.
But even of that, there is more than one Septuagint translation. Like, there's the Alexandrian, and then there's, I forget what the other one is. But at any rate, in all of the Greek copies, these words are found as part of the text, but they're not
in
the Hebrew.
Got it.
Okay. And it came to pass after Israel had been carried away captive and Jerusalem was become desolate that Jeremiah sat weeping and he lamented with this lamentation over Jerusalem. And he said,
oh.
And then the book begins.
And this goes back to them calling him the weeping prophet, too.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the first four of the five poems are written as acrostics. Do you remember what those are?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. No. So we've run into, this is the fifth.
I remember the term, but I don't remember what it is.
Yeah. No problem. I'll explain it again. This is the fifth of several poemy writings that had acrostics in them. And what they are is the beginning letter of each line starts with the next letter of the alphabet.
Got it. Yeah.
So
okay.
It took strategy to make the poesy, if you will.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are used in succession to begin the lines and sections of those songs. Some people claim that that's to show the beginning and the end, and that they lament the full way through the entire alphabet, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, no, because they did it in other places too. And it was
right.
A literary device that they used back then.
Right. So. They put a lot of, there's a lot of sections that we've covered where they use this, this tool, this type of prose.
Like I said, this was the fifth one of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it they must lend a lot of like, they like their alphabet. They like their language.
They like their bookends.
Right.
You know what I mean? They like their beginning and end and everything in the middle.
Yeah.
They like things tied up neat and tidy.
Sure.
And that's, you know, that's the same way where they try to compare Jeremiah and his 40 years with Moses's 40 years and how it started and ended at the same place with the same number. Like, they very much like their bookends.
Right.
So that this just lends to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we are going to start Lamentations. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Chapter 1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. And this is, of course, the personification of the city itself.
Right. No. And it's
pretty
well neat. Written. Yeah.
I actually like it.
Yeah.
After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed festivals. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish.
Wow.
Yeah, this is pretty good stuff.
I approve of this, actually.
It touches my heart, actually.
Right. This is meaningful and very...
I could see myself sitting with people at one of these observation memorializing and having this read aloud, and I could see myself crying.
Yeah, it's very somber and very... It holds a lot of meaning. Like, it's very, very nice.
Yeah. When I say I like it, I don't mean that I like the tragedy that caused it.
No, of course not.
But
course
this
not.
Is beautiful.
But the poesy in it is very strong, and I appreciate it.
So. Yeah. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from the daughter Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness, they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Jerusalem has sinned greatly and so has become unclean. And I'll explain a little bit what that means later.
Got it.
All who honored her despise her, for they have all seen her naked. She herself groans and turns away. Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Her fall was astounding. There was none to comfort her.
It's funny, even, sorry, I have to interrupt here just for a second, but even in this somber poem that they're reading, right, they're still saying how shitty these people are.
Yeah.
Like it's, well, like it started off really strong and really good, but like now it's just like, and you guys still, this is why it happened. You guys sucked.
Yeah. And that's what these lamentations are. They're like sad for what happened, but they're also blaming themselves.
Right.
So it's not just him pointing the finger at the people. This is basically the people pointing the fingers at the people.
Sure.
So we're supposed to believe that he spoke for the people.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, he's not being accusatory. He's whoever the author is.
Yeah, yeah,
which,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure was the Deuteronomist.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So they all together collectively agreed, we ache for what we've done.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, okay.
Sorry.
Captive before the foe, princes, she's yucky, and they laughed. Okay. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, and so has become unclean. Oh, I already read that. Okay. Sorry. The enemy. Oh, wait. No. Okay. Hold on.
We're getting there.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, I interrupted you.
You did.
Yeah.
Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Her fall was astounding. There was none to comfort her. Look, Lord, on my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. And that's in quotes, her speaking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
The enemy laid hands on all her treasures. She saw pagan nations enter her sanctuary. Those you had forbidden to enter your assembly. All her people groan as they search for bread. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. Look, Lord, and consider, for I am despised. Okay. We're about halfway through, but I just want to run back a minute just to point out some things.
Okay.
So it starts out saying that she's basically like a widow, and that has more than one connotation to it. Like, we can see on the surface what that means is, yeah, I mean.
Right, but also God considered Jerusalem his bride at some point. So
yes.
It means that it's without God, I would imagine,
yes,
also.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay.
And also, a widow, she would have been living with her husband and his family, right?
Sure.
Well, when the husband died, the husband's family usually despised the widow and kicked her out.
Got it.
Because she was just like another mouth to feed,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of it too. That's the deeper one, that she is despised even by those who should be loving her and caring for her.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we go into the fact that they say that she's filthy and that her grossness sticks to her skirt or whatever.
Yeah.
That's an allusion to menstrual blood.
Got it.
So
sure.
She's, you know, in her most horrible and atrocious and embarrassing state. She's nude, you know, just a mess.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what we're supposed to gather from this.
Sure.
And then also when it talks about how she had them coming inside her, so to speak. I know, yeah, the way I said,
right,
that.
Yeah.
Like, the nations entered her.
Yeah, no, it sounded very sexual.
And it is supposed to be. Like, she was a whore. She opened her legs to these other nations.
Okay.
And they just used her and then threw her away.
Wow.
So, yes.
Okay.
There's a lot. It's actually very symbolic,
yeah,
and very intelligently written. Like, you don't have to look far for it.
Sure.
And once you know it's there, you cannot unsee it.
I almost commented on that, but I wasn't sure 100%. Mm-hmm. So I was reserving judgment on that. But
yep. Nope. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. You would have had it right. All right. Let me find my place because I once again
lost it.
Okay. So yeah, that's why she's sad, because she's like, I'm disgusting and I hate myself.
Sure.
If I hate myself, how could God not hate me?
Right. You know? Yeah.
So now we're switching back to her speaking again.
Okay. All right.
Her being the city.
Sure.
Just to Jerusalem. Put it out there again, this is the personification of the city.
Right.
Okay. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering that was inflicted on me, that the Lord brought on me in the day of his fierce anger? From on high he sent fire, sent it down into my bones. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, faint, all the day long. My sins have been bound into a yoke. By his hands they were woven together. They have been hung on my neck, and the Lord has sapped my strength. He has given me into the hands of those I cannot withstand.
So the slavery that they're enduring is their own fault due to their sins.
Yes. There's also that callback to, remember early on when Jeremiah, in one of the earlier chapters, he wore a yoke.
Right, right.
And so now,
yeah,
you know, they're kind of literally doing that. So that was a callback to that.
Got it.
Okay. The Lord has rejected all the warriors in my midst. He has summoned an army against me to crush my young men. In his winepress, the Lord has trampled virgin daughter Judah. Okay, I think now we are back to Jeremiah, but I could be wrong because it doesn't specifically say.
Okay.
But the following line leads me to believe that this is Jeremiah speaking now.
Okay.
This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me. No one to restore my spirit. No, I guess it is.
Could still be the city.
It is still the city, because then the next line within the same quote is, my children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed. And of course, he doesn't have children, so it had to be the city.
Sure.
Zion stretches out her hands, but there is no one to comfort her. The Lord has decreed for Jacob that his neighbors become his foes. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. Hmm. And again, those are menstrual rags.
Right, right.
The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Listen, all you peoples, look on my suffering. My young men and young women have gone into exile. I called to my allies, but they betrayed me. My priests and my elders perished in the city while they searched for food to keep themselves alive. See, Lord, how distressed I am. I am in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed, for I have been most rebellious. Outside, the sword bereaves. Inside, there is only death. People have heard my groaning, but there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my distress. They rejoice at what you have done. May you bring the day you have announced so they may become like me.
So this is them asking for retribution on their enemies.
Yeah, of course.
Essentially.
No good prayer without a little bit of vengeance thrown in for good measure. Let all their wickedness come before you. Deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my sins. My groans are many and my heart is faint. The end.
I really liked that chapter.
Yeah.
I mean, insofar as chapters go in the Bible, it was very beautiful. It was well written.
Particularly the first third, I think.
Yeah,
was
for sure.
Very, very sure. heart. It did touch my heart.
And it encompasses a lot of what happened to them with regard to the Babylonian exile.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can appreciate what that is in regard to that.
You know?
The message is still the same message we've been getting throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
God's a dick. He killed them. He you know, made them suffer. They're going to be slaves.
And
you
then know, he's blaming them for him having disappeared on them for a bit.
Right, right. So, I mean, it's the same exact message. It's just...
The phrasing makes the difference.
Right.
Well, because in the previous chapters, too, we've been reading about the history and the dates and the names and, you know, what happened where. And this... truly is a lament. This is from a broken people.
Right, right.
And that, you can't help but feel the pity and the sorrow.
Sure, yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's like if a tragedy happened in the United States, right, and somebody wrote a really heartfelt song about it after the fact, right?
Yes.
And we all kind of rallied behind that song. This is kind of how that feels.
Right,
right. Like, it's a very sentimental value with regard to what this is, so that... Mm-hmm. People can have the feels, you know, like get behind it and be like, yeah, we miss our Jerusalem and we love it and we want to get back and this is what should happen. Here's the same message, but we're going to take the time to make this very beautiful so that everybody can appreciate it and appreciate what we had and lost and what we need to get back.
Right. Exactly. Right? So. Exactly. It's not a rallying cry. It is a gathering cry, though.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, let us gather together and mourn as a community.
Yeah.
Which you got to mourn before you can move to anger.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, get back on your feet.
Well, I don't know. They moved to anger pretty quickly there at the, you know.
Right. No, I'm, yes, I see what you're saying. But I just meant, like, it's saying let's mourn together. Let's, you know, get our feet under us and figure out where we go from here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, get the guns and kill everybody.
Sure. I feel like I'm going to be doing a lot less talking in these five chapters because it's just... I want to hear what the words say.
Yeah, you know? And I try to wait for correct stopping points before I interjected what little notes there were.
Well, and occasionally I want to stop just because I have an idea. But, I mean, it's very beautifully written.
Yes.
So I will give it that.
I want everybody listening to hear us say that we are appreciating a piece of the Bible because we have been accused of, like, you know, coming in with an agenda and not being able to understand any or appreciate any of the beauty of it. And so we have pointed out parts that we have really liked.
Yeah.
And this was a good chapter.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, that's all there is.
All right. So that was Lamentations chapter one.
Sure as fuck was.
And we will be back tomorrow with
Lamentations chapter two.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.